But what of the dark matter? Was everything she had seen, heard, learned wrong?
In the device, Dale said. You know what to do.
Three stargazers stepped forward and lifted the cube, moving it toward the device. Lannery thought of force-shoving them against it, but she didn't know what effect that might have. They were dealing with arcane, ancient technology, and she remembered her journey down into the old city 9 years before, the power she had sensed there, the fear it had instilled. I have to stop them, she thought, but I can't risk triggering the device. Stuck between the two, she felt the gravity of both possibilities tearing at her. No, she said as the stargazer slid aside a panel. The insertion was simple. The Marionium glowed softly as they tipped it into Dale's device, and then they closed the panel and stood back.
So what will it?
One of the miners asked. He did not finish his question. The device finished it for him. It started to turn. Dale gasped, and Lannery realized with dreadful certainty that he really had very little idea what he was doing. He was following old plans, chasing a childhood dream. He was running blind. She tensed, readying to act whether it meant her death or not, because this could not happen. There was a soft grinding noise as the device turned on the gravelly ground. Then it rose and hung in midair, spinning faster and faster until it seemed to fade from view, return, fade again. Lannery felt suddenly sick. It was a physiological reaction to something very wrong. Oh, Dale, you don't know what you're... The force itself recoiled. Lannery fell onto all fours and vomited, and she felt a flexing of the force, like the natural reaction of a person wincing away from fire. For a flicker, the force was absent from that mine, and in its place was only the device, still spinning and fading in and out of existence. And then the thing slowed to a halt in midair, exuding such a sense of malignant power and unfathomable energy that Lannery vomited again. Weak, head spinning, she looked up at the others around her. The miners were on the ground, holding their heads. But the stargazers were jubilant, and Dale was the happiest of all. It worked, he breathed, awed and delighted. It worked! We've done it! It's ready now! It's made its own dark matter, and it's ready! And oh, Lannery, I so wish you could travel with me! She wasn't certain whether that was a veiled plea, and she did not try to see. She didn't care. You've become a madman and a monster, Dale. My only aim is to bring you down. Then this is the end for you, he said softly. Elation quickly fading, he aimed the blaster at Lannery's chest and pulled the trigger. Lannery runs, drawn by the cries, knowing she should be running from them because they are so terrible. But she has come down into the old city to save her brother, and now she fears she is too late. She finds his clothes close to an underground lake. They are shredded and wet. She sniffs the blood. It smells like family. The surface of the lake shimmers as ripples calm to nothing. Without caring what might hear, Lannery screams her grief at the darkness. She sinks to her knees and gathers the clothes to her chest. And even while Dale's spilled blood is still warm, his sister starts to mourn. Chapter 17. Repulsion.
Immersion in the dark side of the Force can seem stronger, more freeing, more triumphant than existing within balance. But only from the outside. Do not be tempted. Those who are swallowed by the darkness lose not only balance and control, they lose their souls.
Master Shalmar, A Life in Balance, 7541 TYA, though your arrival. At the last moment,
She grasped the Force with everything she had and brought it before her. Then there was darkness. In her dreams, she chases Dale through the old city forever. He is always only just ahead of her, a whisper around a corner, a laugh in the next ancient cavern, and on the surface, his shadow is just out of reach behind walls or around the sides of dunes. One step ahead, however fast she runs, however slow she walks. But she has no sense that he is teasing her. There's a repulsion between them, and as she moves toward Dale, he moves away from her. Perhaps that repulsion has always been there, even from when they were children. She remembers many times playing together, but now it also seems to her that those times were shadowed by the knowledge of Dale's growing wanderlust and his resentment of his family, and her childhood self was able to ignore these aspects of him. She sees his child's expression with adult eyes and knows what will come.
"I feel terrible," the voice said. "But you look worse. Can you open your eyes? Open your eyes. Please, Lannery."
Lannery tried, but her eyelids were too heavy, her head throbbing and expanding to squeeze them closed.
"Squeeze my hand if you can hear me."
She tried to squeeze, and a white-hot sun of pain exploded in her chest and across her torso, stabbing into her neck, jaw, and skull. She tried to scream, but taking in a deep breath only ignited the pain even more.
"Okay, lie still and..."
The voice faded, and Lannery felt herself falling. The depths below her were dark and filled with malignancy. They might have been in the gree caverns and halls beneath the surface remnants of the old city, the stinking sewers of Greenwood Station, or the blazing mines on Sunspot. Where she was did not matter. The darkness promised death. She swam in the dark, but had no strength to stop her fall. She was moving. Heat buffeted her from all sides. The stink of burning overrode everything else. An old, deep-set burning, molten rock, and singed eons. "I'm still in the mines," she thought, and she tried to open her eyes. Whatever she was lying on struck something and jarred her, and she screamed at the pain that surged through her veins like acid. She tried using the Force to smother some of the agony, but it was only partially successful. Movement ceased, and a shadow appeared above her.
Lannery.